Yesterday they had the men's breakfast, and Bob had asked me a couple of weeks ago, says, well, Ray, you know, would you be interested in doing a teaching? And he had asked me if I would, you know, do a teaching, and he says, you can, you know, pray on it, and you can teach whatever you want to teach on. So I said, okay, fine, you know what, and I, you know, praying, and but something kept coming to mind. And it just kept coming to mind, and I would be in a conversation about something, and this thought just kept coming to my mind. And it's not that it's ironic, but it's interesting how our pastors, from the beginning of the year, has been talking about what? Everybody's paying attention. Amen. Drawing closer to God. And I've been praying about this, and what came to my mind is seeking God first. Yesterday at the men's breakfast, it was a confirmation of what the pastors are trying to do. And it's apparent that this church, and not just this church, that all of us need to draw closer to God. It's important enough where God is putting it in the hearts of our pastors and the teachings. Yesterday's teaching was also some reference to getting closer to God. Steve Shank, Donovan, and John Rowe spoke, all three of them. They did a fantastic job, and it ministered to me, and I hope it ministered to the men that were here. And one of the things that also that came up was, you know, drawing closer to God. And Steve spoke about on your environment. You know, sometimes we need to change the environment when, okay? And John Rowe spoke about our first love, going back to that first love. So this morning, the teaching I'm going to give is going to be a two parts. It's this week and next week. And this week, I'm going to focus on the first part of it, okay? On first part about drawing closer to God. And the first part that I'm going to talk about this morning is the consequences or what happens when we don't do that. And next week we'll follow up with the benefits and the blessings when we do draw closer to God. Matthew 6:33, and I have my lovely wife assisting, so if you have any questions, with the exception of Roger, you can go ahead and raise your hand. He'll do that. He'll start asking questions on purpose now. Matthew 6:33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Jeremiah 29:13, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. Now that's there for a reason. It's with all of your heart. And a while back we spoke about having a pure heart, a clean heart. What does it mean? What does that mean? What does it mean, you know, seeking God first? And a few things came to mind. To some people, it's never missing a Sunday service. That's what they believe. That as long as they come to church and they don't miss a Sunday service, they're good. I'm in. You know what? Hey, I'm there, God. You're first. I don't miss a Sunday service at all. I'm there. So some people think that that's seeking God first, that because they come to Sunday service every Sunday, that they're in. That's an assumption. Some people think it's just praying early in the morning as soon as they get up. He's first. Is there anything wrong with that? No, that's something we should be doing. But my question is, and I put it out there, is it simply just getting up in the morning and praying? Because you could be doing that, and it's not that it's wrong. You should be praying. We need to be praying every single day, especially in the morning when you get up in the morning. But that prayer, is it a prayer of wish list? Are we just giving God a wish list in the morning when we're praying? Or are we actually trying to connect, seeking God in the morning, drawing closer to Him? wanting that conversation, wanting to connect with them early in the morning? Or again, is it just simply a form of saying, you know what, I did it, I got up in the morning, I said my prayer, hey, he was first. Before I did anything else, I prayed, I connected with him for about 2 minutes, I gave him 2 minutes of my time, and I'm good. Right? God came first. To some people, that's what they think. To others, it's get up and go straight into his word. Again, nothing wrong with that. We should be doing that. We need to be doing that. Now, again, when it says when we get up to read his word, are we just reading his word? Are we just going through some verses? Are we going to trying to memorize some verses so we can look good in front of some people? You know? I mean, is that what some people would do? There is. There's people out there that actually do that. They'll just go ahead, purposely memorize a few verses just in case the pastor will ask them one or two questions, and they'll just go ahead and recite them real quick. Hey, I'm good. Right? That's not what it means. You know, study the word, okay? Get into the word. Now, yeah, that's we should do that. And if that's something you do right now, early in the morning, you get into his word, praise God. We should all be doing that. Amen? Some people, it's, hey, I set my 10% aside as soon as I got my check. See? God came first. I did my tithing. I grabbed my 10%. I set it aside. That's the first thing I did. As soon as I got my check, I put that 10% aside. I'm good. God came first. Some people think that that's enough. They think that that is seeking God first. Doing simple things like that. And again, praying and reading his word is should it's mandatory. I mean, we need to do it every single day. But when we're doing that, when we're praying, is it a wish list that we're giving God? When we're going through his word, are we just going through a few scriptures, just reading, just going through it, and not really getting into the word, studying the word? That's something that I'm trying to do even more now, is get into the word. With me, I have an issue with, because it's I have to read something like 4 or 5 times for it to sink in. And also, I get frustrated sometimes because I'll start reading, all, especially all these names and everything. And God bless Sharon with all those names that she just pronounces them perfectly. But when I'm reading through those names. Exactly. I wouldn't know. It sounds good. Amen. Right? You know? But again, you know, it's getting into the Word, studying the Word. It's not that God's kingdom and his righteousness is the first thing we should look for, but that it should be the only thing we should look for. Now, that's interesting because it's not that people think that, and some people will do this, and I'm sure at some point in my life I've done that, and I need to repent for that, is that a lot of times we think that if we do this first, then God will do his part. So if I do this first, if I go ahead and, you know, read the Bible first in the morning, if I go ahead and say my prayer first in the morning, and if I do this first, then therefore God owes me. People think that way. They do, I'm telling you, they do. They think that way. That therefore, I put him first. Now he owes me. Now I'm going to sit there and wait for the blessings. I put him first. Hey, you know what, God, hey, early in the morning, I said my two-minute prayer before I went to work. So you owe me now. So now the car, the house, the boat, the toys, now I'm waiting for it. We think that God now owes you. Seeking God first, it's not because we expect or want him to give us something. It's not, again, it's not whether or not we do that, but it's something that we need to do, we should do every single day. He has to come first in our lives. And a lot of times, things happen in our lives that we want to go ahead and put God to a side for a minute or two. And I know that came up yesterday with Stephen and the guys teaching in the morning, is that we want to try and make sure that we're having fun first, and then later on want to include God in. God should come first in everything that we do in our lives. Our jobs, who gives them to you? God. He's our provider. When we need a car, me and my wife, we were desperately in the need of a car. She was driving a 1994 Sunfire. I'm sorry? Oh, I'm sorry, it was a 95, my mistake. That means a lot, that 1 year. It was a 1995 Sunfire. And she always say, honey, how come you never wash my car? And I would say, I'm afraid to, it might disintegrate. Seriously, rust all over it, it was falling apart. And on a heavy rain, I would go out there the next day and pieces of the car would actually be sitting next to it. This is how bad it was. So I said, you know what? We need a car. We need to start praying for a car. We need a car. Okay? So we didn't just go out and say, you know what? Let's go tomorrow. No, we needed to pray about it. We wanted to make sure that God comes first in that decision because he's our provider. I want to make sure that this is okay with him first before we decide to do something that he doesn't want to give us yet. Again, it's on his timing. And we waited a little bit, and we waited. And meanwhile, the car's still, like, falling apart. And when it rained hard, I'm like, oh, my gosh, I'm going to get up. That car's not going to be there. I'm just going to see the engine. But it's in God's timing. He has to come first in everything that we do for our families, for our kids. We have to make sure that God comes first in everything that we're going to do, because I guarantee you, if we don't do that, I know that for a fact, that if we don't do that, it's not going to work out great. Everything that we do in our lives, we must include God first. If you're going to purchase a car, you might think that that's silly. It's a big deal. Why do I need to include God in me buying a car? Pastor Dennis.
The senior pastor before Pastor John, Pastor Ed Mannering, way back in the dark ages, I just started coming to church. He was kind of taking me around, showing me the ropes and stuff, just trying to make me a halfway decent human being, which I needed. But he said, let's go shopping one day. So, okay, he was going over to Sears right over here. He said, I'm just going to get a pair of socks. I said, okay. You know, thought we'd talk and stuff in his car as he's doing 900 miles an hour, and I'm holding on screaming for my life. But, yeah, he's from Jersey. That's how they drive. But we get there, and he goes over to the socks. You know, they're laid in the bin. He starts praying. Halalama, halala. What? He starts praying about 5 minutes. He's praying in tongues and stuff. People are looking at us, and I'm looking at him. Finally, after I said, what was that about? He said, well, I was praying on which pair of socks should I get. He said, it's a pair of socks. It goes on your feet, you know. And the ones he picked were ugly as sin, too. I couldn't believe that God would tell him to buy ugly socks. But he told me a story. He said, let me tell you a story. He said, I was out buying socks way back when I first come to Detroit, the area. And he said, I didn't pray, but God said, buy this pair. And I'm thinking, just like you said there, why in the world does God care what kind of socks I wear? He said, then I happened to one day I'm in a dentist's office, and I look across, and there's a guy sitting there. I could tell he wasn't really doing well, and I kind of prayed, and God gave me some words for him and stuff. And he said, I'm sitting there thinking, how in the world can I break the ice? Just walk over there dead and say, he's praying about how to approach the guy. And the guy all of a sudden crosses his legs, and he had on that same ugly pair of socks that he had bought, and he thought, well, did I? And he looks down, and he had wore them that day too. So as soon as the guy did, he looked over and said, that's the ugliest socks I ever seen. Well, the guy get what? Then he crosses his leg and shows him his socks. They're dying laughing. The guy was going through a divorce and stuff. It was all kind of issues that opened it up for him to be able to minister to him.
Amen. Amen. I mean, we need to examine ourselves. Are we truly seeking him first? Or sometimes that we want to have a part-time God. There's people that do that. They've created a part-time God. As long as he doesn't interfere with my plans, we're cool. We're good. Or we'll start doing something without seeking his advice first, okay? And then going to the pastors and making sure that everything is right. We'll just go ahead and do something on our own. And then when it all falls apart, who's the first person we want to blame? God. Like, where were you? Why did you let this happen? Sometimes I just picture God going like, seriously? Really, dude, I mean, wow. I sat here and waited. I knew what you were going to do, but I was kind of hoping that you kind of give me a call first before you did that. And you didn't. Now you want to call me? Proverbs 3:6. In everything you do, put God first, and he will direct you and crown your efforts with success. I mean, that's deep. In everything you do, put God first. It's in Proverbs. His word, not mine. In everything you do, put God first. We want to go ahead again. There's nothing wrong with taking time off. In the summertime, things happen, you know, picnics, barbecues, family events and everything. But again, is that the time to put God to the side? He's not a part-time God. He's not a seasonal God. He's a God of every day, because every day we need God in our lives. It shouldn't just be in the fall or in the winter so we can cozy up in church. Come on, I'm talking the truth here. Amen? It's true. This is the truth. People get comfortable in putting God to a side in seasonal times. There's nothing wrong with doing some of the things that we've done in the summer. But it seems that we want to put God to the side. Stay here for a minute, okay, because I'm going to be a little bit busy here with doing this and doing that. I got this event. I got that event. Oh, my gosh. God, you should see my schedule. You should see my schedule, God. But you know what? I got you down right here. Next Sunday, I'm going to be in church. You'll be first. And you know, I'll pray. I'll pray that morning, too. And I'll read the Bible that morning, too. I'll do everything at one time, and I'm cool. That's not seeking God first. And God's not a seasonal God. We want to take vacations from God. Oh, my gosh.
I know we got a million stories of doing that, but it always seems when I kind of get that mindset, you know, because you're just like, okay, I'm overwhelmed, this or that. And God always has a way of jolting your memory, because when you kind of separate yourself, all of a sudden people come around. That's why my wife says, please do not tell anybody where we're going on vacation, because I know once we get there, you're going to find enough people. Anyway, they're going to, you know, just happen to come that way, you know.
Amen, yeah.
And, but you're exactly right. We feel like, okay, God, I put in my, you know, couple hours today, so the rest of the day belongs to me. And, you know, that's not the mindset that, as you were saying, it's a continuous walking in his presence, thinking about him. And it doesn't mean you always have a Bible, you know, on your desk, or you're singing worship songs or what have you, but it's living your life according to his commandments and to his directives.
I got here real quick, and I'll go through these real quick. Some people might not agree with this, but this is just an observation on my part. In Genesis, after being tempted this is about Adam and Eve. After being tempted, did they seek God first? This is just an observation on my part. They didn't. Because I like to see sometimes humor in things. I kind of just kind of think, you know what? If once Eve did what she did, which was not listen to God, Adam should have ran and snitched on her real quick. Seriously, I mean, if I was Adam, I would have went, God, excuse me, hold on, God, we need to talk. Look what she's doing.
I disagree with you, Ray. You
No. Right. I know, right? That's what we should have done, but he didn't seek God first. I'm sorry, sure.
Actually, because God had given her to him as a gift, as a helpmate, he should have never allowed her to talk to Satan, and he shouldn't have allowed Satan
to talk to her.
He
had authority over, correct, exactly right.
He sat there and let her do it.
That's what I'm saying. He should have went to God and sought God, right?
So, Ray?
I'm sorry.
So, does that mean you're going to snitch Sandra out?
To God? Yes, in a heartbeat.
All right.
To God? Yes, in a heartbeat.
Because she does you.
In a heartbeat.
Because she does you.
Yes, she should.
Yeah, all them thousands of prayers.
I know, right?
Just real quick, you know what it says in the New Testament? It says Adam was not deceived. Does it say that or not? That's exactly right. He did it willingly to save her in the long run. So us men, we you know, in a sense, he did cover for her. But it says in the New Testament, he wasn't deceived like Eve was. So men, yeah, he didn't want to lose her. He didn't want to lose her. Your husband had done the same thing for you.
I got a question. So what you're saying that Adam knew it was wrong, so he just did it anyways.
He knew the only way she could be.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, what it was did you understand the New Testament?
The New Testament says that Adam was not deceived. And there, it's your wife calling. So anyways, what he did is he joined her. He knew that the only way to save her was to join her, unfortunately, in that. And the Bible portrays Adam as a type of Christ. Adam is a type of Christ, that he willingly participated in his wife's sin in order to save her. So we have a tendency to think that he was fooled or somehow was deceived, but that's really not scriptural. We've heard it over and over and over again. But he wasn't deceived. He partook in it to save her ultimately in the long run.
Second Samuel. And then this is the David, and I'll kind of go through this real quick. I won't read the whole scripture, but I encourage you to 2 Samuel chapters 11 through 24. To David, his actions, his sin, on that fateful spring night seemed trivial. Just a momentary pause in an otherwise pious life. I might be pronouncing that wrong. The consequences, however, were devastating, not just for David or for Uriah, but also for David's family and the entire nation who paid the high price for David's immorality. Instead of staying back, or he stayed back, actually he should have been fighting. But I look at that sometimes, you know, in today's life, honey, you know what? I'm not going to go with you to the picnic or whatever because I want to stay back and not do what David did, sin, but I want to stay back and take some time and reflect on me and you. Take that time. If you're going to stay back, don't stay back to sin. Don't stay back because you want to sit there and watch 15 football games. Seriously. I know people that do that. They'll sit there and watch football all day long. But connect with God. And I'll do this part right here, and I'll kind of close up real quick. Again, it's drawing closer to God, seeking God first. And I know for me, I didn't do that at one point in my life. And when I said earlier about praying, when we seek God, we should seek God in everything we're going to do. That's including our jobs. At one point in my life, I didn't do that. I thought it would be this is the greatest job in the world. And my thought was not what God wanted in my life. It was just my thoughts alone. And I had a family at the time, two kids. And somebody mentioned about a job. I went for it. And I was in church at the time, but I didn't seek God first. I didn't bow down to my knees, and I didn't say, God, you know what? Is this the job that you want for me? Is this what you want me to be at? I didn't do any of that. I didn't put God first. I put my own interest first. And I paid a high consequence. The consequence for that, I paid a high price for that. I was leader of the youth group. I had a gospel band. And it was called Latin Group Disciples of Christ. There was 12 of us. Go figure, 12 guys, you know, disciples, right? And I had a family. And slowly but surely, money became my God. And instead of me seeking God and just going to Him about everything I needed to do in my life, I didn't do that. And I used to, at one point, I wanted to become an evangelist. That's something I wanted to do. I can tell you that the consequences of me not seeking God first, I lost the job, I lost the car, I lost my family. If you think there's no consequences of not putting God first in everything that we do, you're wrong. We're all wrong. It's something that we have to do in everything that we do in our lives. God is not a part-time God. It's not somebody that you set aside for just convenience, just so when you think you need Him at that right moment. God is there 24/7, always listening. He wants us to go to Him and say, God, you know what? This is what I want to do with my family. Is it okay with you? And God will answer you. He'll tell you, yeah, that's okay, son. It's okay to do that. There's nothing wrong with that. Go do it. And you know what? I'm going to bless you with that. It's when we don't seek God first, the consequences are enormous. How many of us here know, and I know the pastors know that, and some of the elders here know, how many people here, and you don't have to give names or anything like that, just a mental picture, of how many people, and I know the pastors know this, of people that did not seek God first and now are no longer here. They blame everybody else, everything else, except the fact that they didn't seek God first before they decided to do what they were doing. And they're no longer here. And in some cases, the worst part is they're not even serving God. And that's the ultimate price, their salvation. I'm sorry, Pastor.
Yeah, I was going to say that, and I like what the Scripture said, you know, seeking God first. A lot of us think that when we don't seek Him first, that we're kind of in a neutral state. And the truth is, this may be something you want to remember, you're always serving a God.
Right.
It may not be the God of the Bible, but when you make the decision not to serve Him, you are now serving something or someone else that you've now exalted and have put in that place that you're taking your direction. For a lot of people, it's self. You know, that their self becomes the God because their word becomes more important than God's word. For somebody else, it might be, you know, some other God. But that is the thing, you know, we call it an inescapable concept that don't think because you're not serving the God of the Bible, you're somehow neutral. That's not the way it works. You're always, and everyone in the world is always serving a particular God. The question is, which God are they serving? And that's the important thing. That's why Christ said, you know, seek the kingdom. We know that even with the Ten Commandments, the first thing is the God, you know, who's revealed in the Scripture. But when you reject His word as the authority, now some other God or some other voice of authority is going to dictate to you what to do. In all areas of life, it doesn't matter. So you'll be serving a God. You know, the old Bob Dylan song from back in the 70s, you're going to serve somebody. It might be the devil, it might be the Lord, but you're going to serve someone in all facets. So when we reject God's word upon how we treat our neighbors or how we deal with our finances or how we deal with our wife, now we've exalted, like I said, another God to that position whose word is more authoritative than God's word.
Amen.
I was just going to say also when you're, you know, I know when you're seeking God and you bring something before Him, a lot of times we still want, you know, our motives. You're seeking Him first, but then, you know, what's your motive of the thing that you're asking for?
Yeah.
Are you willing to hear the answer, no, you can't have that? at this time. you know, so that sometimes, like you were talking about David, is he sat back and he wanted something that he couldn't have. And someone told him, no, that's so-and-so's wife. And he said, nah, go get her anyways. All right, so we got to, when even David seeking God with all of his heart made a mistake. So we got to make sure that we're going to take that advice and that counsel.
Amen. Again, today's part was about some of the consequences or when things go wrong, when we don't want to see God. First, like Pastor Don says, oh, you're seeking something. You're seeking something. The question is it the right one? Is it God who you're really seeking, or just, like Pastor Don says, self? And I'll read this last scripture. Next week, we'll come back with the positive part of seeking God first. What happens when we do that, when we take the time to seek God in everything that we do? We know what happens when we don't. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, just a quick comment, too. We talk about this all the time in our Bible study on Thursday. Look at our nation. When this nation was established, the leadership sought God. Now, were they perfect men? No, but they understood his principles. And many of them were men and women that really sought God. But over time, what began to happen? We drifted away, and now mankind knows better than God. We see a great example of that in the scriptures with the Tower of Babel, you know. And they didn't want God part of that culture, their society. And the more we get away from him, what? The more confusion. And I couldn't help but think our leadership today, the first thing they do when a national calamity hits, do they call everybody together and say, let's pray, let's fast?
Mm-mm.
No.
Oh.
No. But they used to do that.
Yeah.
In fact, when they founded this country, they were arguing for days upon how they were, what kind of laws they were going to have, what kind of constitution. Benjamin Franklin stood up, and he said, you know, at our beginning of the conflict that we had with Great Britain, we sought God every day in this building.
Amen.
And we saw his direct hand of providence direct us and guide us. And he quoted the scripture and said, one of the Psalms, it says, unless the Lord builds the house, the workmen labor in vain. And he said, if we can't even build a house, how can we build a nation if God is excluded?
Amen.
But we've done that today. We've done it, you know, on a personal, but we've done it on a national basis too. And so we see what we're reaping because we've jettisoned his law and have established our own or the other God's law. So seeking first the kingdom begins with us, but it will spread out, or should spread out, to all spheres of society, in the workplace, in the schools, and in politics itself. But we don't want to take it there because we're afraid, you know, we're going to be, you know, set aside. And that's exactly what has happened. And that's why we see this nation suffering the way it is, because we have rejected the God who really established it.
Amen. I'll finish with this scripture. Romans chapter 8, verse 5. Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance to what the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. It's what we put in our heart. It's what we think of self first. And we don't want to make sure that he is leading. Okay? You'll see the repercussions of that. So next week, my wife and I, we're going to come back with the second part of the teaching. And again, it's going to come back to the blessings, how great it is when we actually take the time to put him first in everything that we do in our lives. Amen?